Be seated, please. Identity. Jesus asks, "Who do people say I am? And who do you say?" As if he were asking them to reveal to him who he is. I can relate. I spent countless hours, put together from seconds and minutes over many years, trying to figure out who I am based on others' opinions. Had you asked me at any point if that's what I was doing, I almost certainly would have said, "Of course not." And I wouldn't have been lying, because I was oblivious to that myself. However, during some of those moments at least, I would have been silently asking, "Who do you want me to be?" and doing my best to be that person. In my very first psychotherapy years ago, after only a few sessions, I asked my therapist, "How do you see me turning out after all this?" If memory serves, he laughed out loud. It didn't take me long to join in, seeing the absurdity in that. I'd been notably confused and depressed and angry and a bunch of other things. My reason for going to him in the first place. We both knew that if he could answer such an outlandish question and felt inclined to do so, poor therapy indeed, I would do everything in my power to become that imagined person. Such a pursuit would have been an abysmal substitute for doing the hard work of discovery. That literal word, discovery, that is uncovering my true self. As it turns out, I'm still engaged in that endeavor. Personal, emotional, and spiritual growth. And I will be, I know, until I draw my final breath. Michael, gospel? I know. I do sometimes get on a tear. And I hasten to add that Jesus did not appear to have the doubts, fears, and uncertainties that sometimes can still plague me. On the other hand, the incarnation, that is, the divine self lived out in a human life, must have involved some of the soul searching that seems endemic to human life. Granted, more for some of us than others. And let us not forget the gospel from last Sunday in which Jesus changed his mind about the Canaanite woman's request. Identity, as I was saying, Jesus needed the disciples to grapple with that question. Rather, they needed for him to nudge them toward that kind of reflection. And they needed to discover Jesus' unique identity for themselves. Otherwise, he would have said something like, "Okay, let's set the record straight once for all. I am the Messiah. That is, the one who has come to save you from yourselves. Now, there it is." But he didn't. He worked, in this case, from the outside in. Much as a therapist might look at a client's actions and help them to consider the thoughts and feelings that accompany or prompt or lay the groundwork for those actions. In this case, he merely asks, as I hear it, in a non-confrontive, non-threatening way, "Who do the folks out there say that I am?" Quickly enough, they offer some examples, some comments they've overheard or that were told them directly. After all, he was just asking for information, right? "John the Baptist," says Thomas. "Elijah," says James. John chimes in. "Jeremiah." And others offer, "Oh, you know, one of the prophets." Of course, we have no idea who said what, But it could have gone like that. They all sit there proud of themselves for having performed well, providing answers to a question posed by their teacher and friend. Then on this reading, this time around, I hear a beat or two of silence. Jesus, ever the teacher, knows the value of a well-placed silence. After it's passed from a comfortable silence, perhaps among friends, to something a little less than that, he quietly asks, "Well, what about you? Who do you say I am?" Now, in the past, I have assumed that Peter's response is immediate, and that's a possibility because the text doesn't help us. There's no a period of silence followed with the disciples making patterns in the sand with their toes, or the disciples look back and forth at each other, then up at the sky, and then down to their feet. Nope. Could have been Peter answering immediately and impetuously, as he did on other occasions. But this time, it occurs to me that there might have been that less than comfortable pause accompanied by evasive looks and toe-tapping. After all, this is a different question from, "What are folks saying about me?" You know, those folks we come up against from time to time. That question puts the disciples and Jesus on the same side, looking out at and listening to those people. This is different. Jesus is on one side of the question, and they're on the other. Or Jesus is on the side of the question, and they're on the side of the answer. Who do you say that I am? Regardless of immediacy or hesitation, it is Peter, we're told, who says, "You're the Messiah, Son of the living God." Maybe there was a real moment of revelation inside of Peter that he had never thought it through before. It dawns on him in an instant. In the classics illustrated version of this, there would have been a light bulb over his head, maybe. "You are the Messiah. That's what we've been doing this whole time. Following the Messiah on his mission to save humanity from its destructive, self-destructive tendencies." According to the text, he doesn't get a chance to express that dawned upon him discovery, if that's the way it went, because Jesus tells him, "You've got it." And it's not that you've just cleverly figured it out. This is what we call divine revelation. You have had a real and true spiritual experience, and this very epiphany is the foundation of what we're called to do together. It is who you and I are called to be. It is our identity. Mine, of course, but yours as well. And while you're called to tell others this good news, you're also called to live your life in such a way that helps them to come to you and to this discovery in their own way as well, to become seekers and sharers of the truth. Back to the beginning of this reflection, I do believe that we are all meant to engage in this quest for identity. Some have followed a path more or less like mine, therapy, 12-step recovery, life in the church, and so on. Others do it in a less self-conscious, programmatic way. But all of us here, I truly believe, are involved in this quest for our own true selves, or better, our true self, with a capital S, meaning that one true self, the ultimate identity, breathed into us human beings at creation. Peter speaks for all of us. Maybe that's the reason he's the rock on which the church is built, when he says that God is incarnate and walks among us to reveal our true calling and to evoke in each of us that divine reality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.